Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we've got a dynamic hour for you, and I'm so pleased that you're going to be able to join us. We are going to be talking about our kids. Now, we're coming very soon to the time of year when youngsters are going to be going back to school. And if you're a concerned parent and you feel as if your child is lagging behind, or you're frustrated, you don't know what you can do to help your child, my guest today, Michael Maloney, is a gentleman that I think you're going to find very, very interesting. Teaching Your Children Well, or I should say Teach Your Children Well, is the title of his book. It's been a bestseller, and it is his perspective of some solutions to our educational problems that we're experiencing today. I want to welcome Michael Maloney. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Donna. It's great to be on your show.
Well, I'm looking forward to chatting with you. Before we went on the air, I mentioned I'd met up with a couple of teachers, and they were expressing their frustrations as teachers with the things that they're trying to accomplish. But let's tell my audience a little bit about your background. You're a teacher, principal, and an entrepreneur. You left the public education arena because you wanted to create effective private schools as well as learning centers, because you have developed certain educational methods that you feel not only have been tried but have been very successful, and we're going to have some wonderful stories about that. And you like working with others to help them accomplish more as teachers, as educators. You also have done a lot of research. You've been involved with the Canadian educational system as well as the U.S. and for many places in Europe for the past 20 years. And you are working on starting up something I thought was extremely interesting, cyberslate.ca. It's an internet tutorial service. Wow, you're one busy guy.
Well, I've had a lot of help, Donna, and the only reason that I'm really in the world of private education is because public education has had no indication that they're ever about to accept the methods that we have demonstrated to be so successful, despite the fact that these methods have been proven over and over again to help children who are behind at school.
Well, I think this is very important, and I know there are so many parents out there, grandparents, that just ache for their kids, and they say there has to be a better way. And my goodness, as far as education goes, I don't know what the numbers are now, but I know that there was a time when we were like 17 in science and math, maybe even lower than that, you know, further behind, and in English and so many other things, that where we used to excel as a nation with education, we're falling behind more and more and more, and it seems like our standards are not what they should be. Now, please correct me if I mispronounce this gentleman's name, Andrew Nikiforuk.
Yeah, you got it right.
Oh, thank you. I feel I'm so proud of myself. He's in Calgary, Canada, and he wrote the foreword in your book, and I was really impressed with his words. He said, good learning, the essential foundation for any education, requires good teaching. And that's what this book, Teach Your Children Well, is all about. Instruction that works pure and simple. Then, right at the front of the book, you say 1 in 4 North Americans can't read a newspaper, 8% of university graduates, 11% of college graduates, and 70% of high school graduates are illiterate. Now, this is according to Canada's Council of Education Ministers. And you say it's at least as bad in the U.S. Michael, those are appalling numbers.
It gets worse, Donna.
It gets worse? Oh,
yes.
You can't tell me there's anything worse.
Yeah, there is. Sadly, 1/3 of North Americans have never read a book in their lifetime.
A third?
1/3. 50% of North Americans cannot deal with information at a grade 8 level. of reading. They cannot comprehend what they're reading. And the slippery slope is just getting more slippery all the time.
All right. This has been progressing for a long time. It's
many,
my
many
belief.
Years.
It's been progressing since the 60s. So we're looking at a good 40 years of deterioration. Now, taxpayers are paying more taxes than ever before to support the school system. How long were you in the public system? And
well,
what made you decide, besides frustration, that you could do something that would make a difference?
Well, basically, I was in the public school system beginning in 1964, and I was back and forth between the system and the college system that I taught in for the next 20 years. But the only thing that's really important was that during that time, I found a mentor named Zig Engelmann, who built a system called direct instruction that was absolutely superior to anything anyone else had ever seen. And it was documented in a very large study, which I'm sure we'll discuss this evening. And it proved itself to be the single most effective way to teach children. And I took it into schools, and we taught it to teachers, and we taught it to children, and we were incredibly successful to the point where the school system literally fired us.
They fired you because you were successful?
Yes.
Why?
Because we embarrassed our colleagues. And our colleagues did not want to learn the method that we were using because it's fairly stringent, it's fairly structured, it's highly repetitive, and it is absolutely transparent. When the child doesn't learn, it's very clear that the teacher didn't teach. And the public school systems are not at this point in time willing to accept that level of accountability. And so they simply killed the messenger.
Wow. All right. So you guys are thrown out on your ears. What happened next?
Well, I thought that I had done a really good job on the educational side of the issue and an incredibly abominable job on the political side of the issue until I went back to the research and found out that in every single place where I could establish that these systems had been brought into a public school district, none of them had survived for more than 3 years, except for one in Houston, Texas.
Tell us what happened in Houston.
Houston, Texas had a young black principal, and he was in schools that were in incredibly poor areas where, you know, most of the children would have been on free lunch or whatever, and he consistently used this method, and as a result, his students were year after year after year claiming the top spots in the advanced programs in Houston. And it became very clear that these minority kids were beginning to make up very large, better than their percentages would expect. And so we really, he had to find out, people had to try to find out what was going on, but they didn't like what they saw. So eventually, they accused him of rigging the grades, and they accused him essentially of larceny in his school, and they drove him out.
Well, I hope he's not discontinued teaching. I hope.
No, he started his own charter schools.
Wow. You know, this, I think of the movie that was put out, Lean on Me, and there's another one.
Blackboard Jungle.
Not Blackboard Jungle, but there's the new one recently, Freedom Writers, where
there's
a young teacher. And these stories, I find it so interesting that in each one of these stories, which were true stories, these people were damned by the very environment that would be supportive, I would imagine, would have pride in making their students number one, maybe in their state, their community, whatever. It just is a real sad statement of a bureaucracy, and I know how many sincere, dedicated teachers are out there just feeling like they've got to battle this system, and they get so frustrated. I've seen more than one side of the fence, and that is just so agonizing. Now, with Thaddeus, now that he's set up his own charter schools, I'm hoping that he's doing well. But where did you go from, you know, there? You talked about Thaddeus. Didn't you start a Quincy Learning Center?
Yes, I started my own schools because it was obvious that I was not going to be able to impact the public school system. And so I simply decided that I would take this out on the street and sell it and make my living as a private entrepreneur educator. And I have started since then about 25 different learning centers to help some of my colleagues get established in the business, and written some books and written some software, and started a few projects here and there to try to make sure that these methods survive this generation of practitioners.
Tell us about Mighty Math. The U.S. is so low, and mathematics, many times for girls, they're not encouraged to get into it. Boys usually are the ones that seemingly excel at it, but girls can be just as good, and teaching of math on different levels, that can really be a challenge. Tell us about how you developed Mighty Math, and what is it?
Well, Mighty Math is nothing more than the method that Siegfried Engelmann at the University of Oregon created with pencil and paper for not only his math programs, but also his reading and spelling and reading comprehension programs. It's a method called direct instruction. And all we did with Mighty Math and with Math Tutor, the one that followed it, was to use that method to apply it to the teaching of all of the major aspects of math. And so it set it up so that there were 8 different programs, one for each major area like addition or subtraction or multiplication. And then we broke them into lessons and taught each of the lessons in a sequenced order. And the critical variable there was simply that if the child made a mistake, a little tutor called Ziggy, named after our mentor, would pop up on the screen and show the student what to do and then walk them through it again, just like a loving teacher would do.
Mm-hmm.
So consequently, what we had was a piece of software that worked just like a teacher or a tutor, and the child could sit at the computer and get as much practice and as much instruction as they needed, because any type of error they made got a particular type of correction instead of just a situation where it said try again, which is really asking the child to guess.
Right. Now, for those of you listening, my guest today is Michael Maloney. His book is called Teach Your Children Well, and these are his insights, his solutions that he feels really can help our educational problems. And I want you to know, as parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, if you're aware of a child, if you're a teacher, if you're aware of a child, this kind of information can help you tremendously. A child that just otherwise seems to be floundering. Kids love to work with computers, and this is software that can help you out, and it can even help adults out. And you have been working with the Scholastic, which is one of the leading companies in the world relative to publications and educational opportunities, and they negotiated doing a series of instructional computer programs in arithmetic, and that was called Math Tutor.
Yes, that's the direct instruction component. The Mighty Math was a measurement one in which the student learned to certain levels and won computer games for getting a better score on their math facts than they did the day before.
Mm-hmm.
Scholastic, yes, we worked with Scholastic, and it was their leading math line of software for about 15 years, and it won all the major awards.
Yes, it did.
We had a very good run with that. But like all things, there are limits that you can do with large publishing companies, and they asked us to do a language arts program with them, but they didn't like the design because they were smart enough to see that they couldn't sell that to schools because schools had a different philosophy
mm-hmm.
than we do.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't move forward beyond the math programs with Scholastic.
Illiteracy and innumeracy. You say this is a growing problem. We've
Absolutely.
Talked about it for a couple of minutes. Tell us some of the latest statistics on this, other than the ones that I've mentioned, because we can't just point at an ethnic group anymore. It's across the board, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, and it's not a socioeconomic group. We're finding children of middle class and upper middle class parents who are just as illiterate as the poorest child in the deepest ghetto of the major cities. So it's not simply an ethnic issue. It's not a socioeconomic issue. It's an educational issue. And its solution is already known, except that we as educators and particularly we as parents are not good consumers of education. We don't know as parents what works for children, and we don't go and do the due diligence that's required to find that out and then insist that our schools use such methods. The only reason that I have been so successful is that your government in the United States over a 20-year period spent $2.2 billion to be able to determine which methods worked best with children who were at risk. And that research is what I drew upon in order to create all of the materials that we use here in my learning centers.
$2.2 billion to do the research, and we're in the bottom of the barrel.
Well, and consistently, your nation and mine funds education at the highest levels of the G8 countries. We're in the top third in terms of the amount of revenue that we spend on education annually, and we're in the bottom third of results consistently, and we have been for the last 20 years.
Now, you have another statement, and this was in the middle 90s, that the American Library Association estimated the cost of illiteracy in the middle of the 90s at $224 billion annually.
Absolutely.
That is just breathtaking when you mention that number, $224 billion annually. And that means, too, that when you have that, employers that need people, regardless of their age, but the younger generation, if they're looking for jobs, if they're not literate, they cannot get a job.
And that's the major thing that has changed. North America has had the same kind of illiteracy levels for literally more than 100 years. But up until a few years ago, in the last generation or two, a person could leave school, work in a factory, make enough money to raise a family, buy a home, have a half-decent life, and be illiterate. Well, you can't do that anymore. Unless you have a grade 12 diploma, your name does not go in the interview pile, and consequently, you don't get a crack at any of those jobs. And people are now being trained on the job because of their lack of literacy in order to do things like statistical control processes where we automate the equipment to the point where you don't handle it anymore, but you handle the controls that handle it. And so our workforce needs to be much more skilled, and we're just not providing that.
You talk about the relationship between illiteracy and crime, and the numbers are just earth-shaking. You say in here, and this is Jonathan Kuzal, contends there's a direct link between illiteracy and the crimes of 260,000 of the almost 500,000 inmates in American state and federal prisons, and the incarceration costs generate an expenditure of almost $7 billion annually, and in Canada, it now costs more than $50,000 every year to house each of its federal and provincial inmates, 85% of whom are illiterate or semi-literate.
Right. And your situation in the States is no different. Essentially,
amazing.
It costs $50,000 a year to incarcerate someone, and it costs $15,000 a year to send someone to state college. So now, which way should we be, working on this? And the bottom line is, as I said before, we know what the solution is. You've done the research. The follow-through study that was completed in the late 70s compared 16 different methods and showed us very clearly that there are two that work very well and 14 that barely work at all. But the education system doesn't like those two, so they refuse to use them. And meanwhile, we watch generations of kids slide down the slope into illiteracy and into unemployment and into crime. And we stand back as parents and community citizens and accept this. At some point, we need to stand up on our hind 2 feet and say, look, this has got to stop.
All right. So we have parents. They're listening to this, and they're saying, I just don't know what to do. How do I handle it? I am a parent that doesn't have a whole bunch of money. I know there are these these various companies that teach things privately. What can I do as a parent if I want to make sure that my kid is really up there and is really going to be able to make it in the world? You know, if a kid wants to go to a technical school, if they may not be an academic student, but they need to go on and get their skills developed in many levels, they must be able to read and write, do math, spell. They need to have these skills. What can a parent do?
Well, one parent is rather, the solution for one parent is very difficult. The only way that the system is going to change is when parents as a group, an association of parents at a single school or a large number of parents in a single district, when they simply get together and say, okay, we now know what works. There's this process out there called direct instruction. It teaches reading, writing, spelling, and math, just what our kids need. Our school district doesn't use it and doesn't want to use it, and we want to know why, and if they're not going to use it, let's replace all of the people in that board and get what we, the consumer, need for our kids. So essentially we're talking about a huge paradigm shift that has to take place, first of all, in the knowledge and awareness and intention of the parents, and secondly, in the schools and the school districts. And the only way that's going to happen is if our parents become much more knowledgeable consumers and much more aware of what does and does not work. And that's, I guess, one of the reasons that I wrote Teach Your Children Well.
Well, I want you to tell the story about Jamie. This is so wonderful. I just love to see something that seemed to be impossible accomplished, and I just think we underestimate the capacity of kids so phenomenally. Tell us about Jamie.
Well, Jamie was one of my most exceptional students and one of my dearest students. He was born with cerebral palsy as a result of anoxia at birth, and as a result, he had slow speech patterns, and he had slow hand movements, and he had a slight gait that was different than other children. And most teachers and principals took a look at Jamie and more or less assumed that he would never be able to do very much. And he was told by the doctors, his mother was told by the doctors, that he wouldn't walk, he wouldn't talk, he would never be much more than, a barely functioning human, and that she should put him into a home for children with retardation.
How devastating for the mother.
Well, she refused to believe it, and she worked hard with Jamie and found resources in the community, and basically Jamie learned to walk and learned to talk, and then when he was about six, she brought him to me and asked whether or not I could teach him to read. And the rule for Jamie is the rule for all children. If they can get from the door to the chair without feeling the wall, we can teach him to read. And if we can't, we'll give you back the money. And so Jamie came to my learning center, and we worked very diligently. And he was such a trooper. I mean, he wanted to learn so badly. And he did. He learned to read. He learned to write. He learned to do his math. He went through school. He is now a high school graduate, and he looks and acts a whole lot like most normal kids.
Now, you were able to work with 3 one-hour weekly sessions in reading with him, and mm-hmm. you tell how he progressed through that. But for him to be a functional, even though he's got cerebral palsy, he's going to have a real life.
Yeah, there's so many things Jamie can now do because he has some skills, and those skills will allow him to learn more skills. And so he has now options that simply weren't there for him before because his mother refused to believe that he could be that limited, and she refused to give up, and we were able to help her.
Well, I think it's just an absolutely marvelous story. There's so many adults, Michael, that cannot read. I think of a young man that I know right now. He's got a business of his own. He hates to read. How do adults fare with this kind of training and programming?
Well, we typically will take adults, and most of our adults are injured workers, and they are sent to us through the Workers' Compensation Board, and they are sent to us because of the fact that they're illiterate. And because of their injury, they now need to be retrained to some other job that doesn't involve, you know, going up on a roof or being behind the wheel of an 80,000-pound rig. And that means that they have to learn their literacy skills first. Well, as you would expect, they're not too happy to come in and just tell you all of their academic problems. I mean, they left grade 9 for a good reason. They couldn't read. And so we start them in our simplest program, teaching them how to read, and 1 year later, we send them off to the local community college to post-secondary education, and 92% of my students finish their first semester at college successfully. At that point, I think it's up to the college to get them the rest of the way.
Well, I agree with that. And I really think, as much as many individuals don't care for it, I really think it's important to have testing as kids go through school.
We do it every day.
Yeah. I mean, it's so important to have it, because without testing, how in the world are you going to know? And the students really want to excel, and with computer programs, like you said, with the character Ziggy when you were doing the math, that they really like that, because there's no one that's beating them over the head. They're working with Ziggy. They're working with these programs that are going to allow them to do the repetition that needs to be done. And so much of learning is repetition. But when you think of it, when you have a child, when they can read, when they can observe things, their world opens up. And libraries, my gracious, they are loaded with so many wonderful things. And what a world you're able to open up for these children and even adults. For those of you listening, my guest is Michael Maloney. His book is Teach Your Children Well. Michael, you have a website. Where do people go to find out more about your system, etc.?
Well, and the website is called www.teachyourchildrenwell.com. And it has a host of information, some of which is absolutely free that parents can simply download. If they look on the home page of the website, there is a section called freebies, and we put those up there, and they're little lessons that are there to be taught to children in reading and math and writing. And then there's our newsletter that we put together that have other lessons that people can simply subscribe to, and that it's a free subscription. And it teaches them various rules for spelling. And so they're meant to be sit at the kitchen table and go through this process with your child in 20 minutes, and your child will know more about spelling than they did 20 minutes ago.
Wow. I just think that there is such an opportunity here. You've done us a tremendous service with your book, Teach Your Children Well. Michael Maloney, again, is my guest. His website is teachyourchildrenwell.com. As he mentioned, there's freebies there regarding instruction. If you're a parent, if you're a teacher and you have a difficult student, or you're trying to figure out ways that you can empower those young people, or even a college student that may not be literate, here's some information for you. Don't be afraid to use it. And for those of you who are adults, if you know of anyone who is not a good reader, this is a great application to utilize for them as well. Why go through life without having the tools to empower you for success when you cannot read, you cannot write well, when you cannot calculate mathematically, you've got problems? It is so difficult in this world when you don't have the basic skills, and this can give you everything you need to make your life richer and fuller. Michael, I want to thank you for being my guest today. It's been a delight having you, and I wish you continued success.
Well, thank you very much, Donna. It's always a treat to speak with you, and I hope sometime we may be able to delve into these issues a little further, because there's much more that we could share with your readers and your listeners.
I really would agree with that. Let's hope that that opportunity will come up again. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be going on a break. Again, my guest, Michael Maloney. Teach Your Children Well. The website, teachyourchildrenwell.com. It is a must read and a must go visit the website. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. Don't you go away now. We're going to be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right, Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and our telephone lines are now open. So if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, hey, give me a buzz. 877-876-5227 is the USFA number, toll-free, Canadians, 888-815-9756. And also we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. If you're a new listener, oh, we're so glad you're able to join us. And all you need to know is that when you call in, you just give me your first name or your initial, and of course I'd love to know where you're calling from. And then after that, let me do what I do, and you're welcome to ask a question about anything you like. My goodness, we have had so much fun at the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. This event that I've been participating in for the past two weekends, the last weekend is coming up, and I want to say thank you to those of you who stopped by the booth. It was just delightful to meet with you. I have just had the time of my life, also had a new costume. But let me tell you, we had all kinds of people out there, all of these characters, these people that come in and participate in the event like I do, and one of them's a pickle lady, another one is what the lady we've titled her Muddy Mary. She slathers herself with mud, she's a beggar woman, she goes around. We have knights in shining armor, we have so much fun, and the music is to die for. Why? Because you cannot keep your feet still. Good Celtic music, phenomenal drummers, all kinds of bagpipes playing. It is absolutely invigorating. Weather has been perfect, so I want to be sure that you know. This is the last weekend coming up. It is phenomenal. Oh, and you should see some of the vendors. I've got to tell you about this one vendor that does masks. It's incredible. They're beautiful masks like you'd find in the Venetian Hotel in Las Vegas. This guy has fabulous masks, all hand-done on porcelain. Absolutely awesome. But so many other things, delicious food. You have so much fun. Bring the family. Come on out. I'd love to see you. I have a new costume, too. Oh, yes, I know. But I just love to dress up. It is just a blast, and you can, too. They even have costume rentals there for you. So come out to the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. The location is the Mentor Creek Ranch at 10215 State Road 302 in Gig Harbor. The hours are from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Come out prepared to just have fun. Bring your friends, bring your family. Go to their website to find out about all the different discounts and packages that they offer. And then go to WashingtonRenaissanceFantasyFair.com. You're not going to want to miss this. This is the last weekend coming up. It's good stuff, lots of fun. And I guarantee you won't gain a pound if you eat all the goodies that they have there because you're going to be doing so many things, just having a blast. It's just going to burn all those calories away, and the sun's going to shine, I guarantee you, here in the Pacific Northwest. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat at 877-876-5227. In the U.S. of A, if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And the other telephone number is 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. Remember, all I need from you is your first name or initial. And then after that, just let me do my thing, and then you'll be able to ask me a question about anything that you like. Claire Mashika has a delightful poem that I really liked, and with it is a photograph of a tiger lily. And they are so gorgeous. Lilies are just in abundance in gardens throughout the Pacific Northwest, and I know in many other parts of the country. And so many of them are deliciously fragrant. They are sweet-smelling. They are just absolutely gorgeous. I know we have lilies in our yard that are as big as dinner plates, and they are just beautiful. And so this time of the year, they are just blooming their hearts out. And she wrote a poem about a tiger lily, and I really liked it, and I thought I would share it with you. The tiger lily's bright orange face greets me with elegant grace, and slender leaves bow gently down beneath that grand and fiery crown. I like that. And again, the photo that's with it is just absolutely gorgeous. Well, summertime should be a time for fun. Summertime, my goodness, you can get out. You don't have to wear a whole bunch of clothes. If you're like us in the Pacific Northwest, you know, when fall comes around, then you have to start putting on your parkas, and you have to realize it's going to be raining, and then the temps start getting cooler and cooler. Well, when it's summertime, everybody in the far north anyway, we just go, yahoo, and we don't have to wear any more stuff than necessary because the sun out is out. Well, in our communities, we need to sort of keep in touch with what's going on because there are so many wonderful events that are free. You can go to the park. You can tap on for a picnic. You can do all kinds of things. I know we've got a caller, and I'll be right with that caller. But how about thinking about a bike tour? You know, I'm seeing more and more people get out their bikes. Go ride a bike or take walks and check out your local visitor bureau, wherever you are in the country, to find out what's happening in your community. And you know what? There are concerts going on all over the place. You can attend the concert and just have the time of your life. Carry your own lunch. Maybe they're going to have hot dog vendors there. Whatever goes, you can have the time of your life and not have to spend a fortune. It's wonderful. Enjoy it while you've got it. It just seems to disappear all too quickly. Let's go to our first caller today. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Sharon, and I'm calling from Tucson, Arizona.
All right, Sharon. And I know you're cooking in Tucson.
Yes.
Yes, well, I get to say, we're cool and comfortable here in the Pacific Northwest. I said that to someone I was talking to in Mississippi this morning, and they said, oh, please, don't tell me that. It's going to be over 100 today. But I'm going to say it anyway. I like to rub it in a little bit.
Oh, I want to go out there to the Northwest.
Well, we like to tell people it rains here all the time. And believe it or not, it has been pretty gray and overcast, but it's kept the tips down, so it's really been nice. But we have had those rain clouds pass over, and they haven't dropped a drip. Well, let's get down to business with you, Sharon. First thing that I am looking at is pace yourself. You are taking on some new agendas, and you want to remember, don't take on too many. If you take on too many, you're then going to find yourself back in the same spot you were in a few months ago, where you're going to feel like you've been run over by a train. So you don't want that to happen. Pace yourself and realize that everything you're doing, you can say no to certain things you really don't want to be involved with, and you can say yes to what you do want to be involved with. And that is exceedingly important. Also, I think you're going to have a visit to the dentist coming up and also a visit to your eye doctor. This is something that is no big deal, but it needs to be done. What's on your mind today? What would you like to ask me?
Well, I've been treating myself, my gum, with peroxide and Listerine alternate days, and I'm hoping that I don't have to have a root canal. Are you feeling that that's...
Oh, that's not going to stop the root canal, dear. It's not going to do it because the damage is not on the outside. It's on the inside.
Well, the dentist that I talked to, you know, they've done x-rays. They don't see anything, but there's a sensation in my tooth, and so it keeps that sensation, that feeling away when I do treat myself, and I was just hoping, the dentist had said the only thing he could recommend is that I go to somebody that specializes in root canals, and he wasn't sure that it needed a root canal, he was just referring me to...
Well, realize that you've got something though going on with another tooth. It's not just the tooth you're feeling this in. So you've got a couple of things that are going on, and I would say if they've recommended a specialist, go check it out with somebody else. Get a second opinion.
Yeah.
Because I think your body is sending a signal. I think you have not just one tooth, but I think you've got two that need to have work done.
Okay.
So following the hygiene that you're following is not a bad thing. You just want to remember, don't overkill, because you can create an irritation in your mouth that
yeah.
you don't want. So be thoughtful. Don't, again, overdo. More is not necessarily better. Find out what the moderate amounts would be. Be consistent. But I get another opinion. But I'm seeing two teeth affected.
Okay.
Actually, I'm looking at three. But I'm seeing two that would need to have some work done on them. But what I'm looking at is inside the tooth. And if there's a different way of approaching something that's on the inside of the tooth, then that's important. Because what you're getting is a pressure point sensation. When you're, you know, biting down. And the body, again, can do some real weird things here, but I think it's prudent of you just to follow through as you're doing. I compliment you. I think you've got a very good approach towards it.
Okay. It was the financial end that I worry about.
Well, I think they'll work on that with you. Take care of your teeth, hon. You want to keep them.
Oh, I know.
You want to keep them. Look at it from a different perspective. This is an investment in your wellness, and that's what you want to remember. I understand the financial side, but you want to look at it as an investment in your wellness.
Oh, indeed.
And just say, okay, how can we work with this? And I think they'll work out a plan with you. Be upfront with them. Don't be afraid of them. They're just people.
Okay, well, I'll call them and find out.
Sure, and you might also want to check with a dental school. Sometimes dental schools offer some wonderful opportunities, and much of the work is overseen by very, very skilled professionals.
Okay.
So check that out. See if there's a dental school in your area, and if finances are a concern, that may be something you want to look into.
Oh, absolutely. I'll have to check around and see what's available.
Sure.
You know, I had an exchange with somebody this morning. Do you see that kind of evening out? I'm fine with it. I'm just hoping that person who is pretty high profile in this town is not going to hold that against me, our exchange that we had.
Well, I think what you need to do is just realize if you have integrity with yourself, fine. Don't work from a positioning of fear.
Yeah.
And just know that you have kept a line of communication open. The ball is in their court, and they can respond in any way that they want. They have the right and privilege to do that.
Right. Okay,
though. So don't be afraid.
Oh, no. I don't feel I did anything wrong. I thought that they overreacted completely.
Well, again, there's this underlying fear. So I want to say, look it straight in the eye and just say, this is what I had to do, and take it from there.
Right.
I want to thank you for your call, hon.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
You too.
Bye-bye. Donna Sebo here, and if you'd like to talk with me, as Sharon did, then give me a buzz at 877-876-5227. That's here in the U.S. Canadians, 888-815-9756. And our direct line is 530-876-3222. Oh, I got to tell you who's coming up this week. What a lineup we've got. All kinds of good things. Judith Bowman is going to be my guest tomorrow. Her delightfully delicious titled book is Don't Eat the Last Donut. No, we're not talking about losing weight. We are going to be talking about protocol, etiquette, how you conduct yourself in the area of business, social activities. Believe it or not, we don't teach that in school anymore. And consequently, people as adults are finding that they're flopping all over the place and they have all kinds of uncomfortable situations they can be in. You can even lose a job by not knowing what to do. So Judith is going to be our guest tomorrow. Don't eat the last donut. We're taking a break. Don't you go away. We're going to be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and I wanted to share some things with you, but first let me give out the telephone number if you would like to call in and talk with me directly. Call in the U.S. 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756, also 530-876-3222. All of those telephone lines are open and available if you would like to call in and chat. By the way, I am going to be making a trip to San Francisco for a special appearance. I'll be down in the San Francisco Bay Area on the 14th and 15th and maybe even a couple of extra days. So for those of you in that part of the country, you'll be able to find out more about where I'm going to be and what I'm doing. I'll be giving you more information on that coming up in the next few days. And then I'm going to be in Alaska in October. And so that's going to be something. We'll have more information on that for those of you who listen from the far north up there in the great state of Alaska. And there's some other locations, other opportunities that are going to be coming up, and I'll be sure to announce them so you know where I will be. Also, you will be able to check with my newsletter, and you can go into my website, DelphiInternational.com. You can always go to my newsletter and see what is posted there, and also my webmaster posts my calendar information as I'm able to provide it to her. And so that will all be available to you. Also, if you have something interesting that you feel I should know about, then I want you to send me an email. And I must apologize because of my participation in the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. I've not been getting to my emails as consistently as I would have liked to, but we're going to try to do a bit of catch-up this week. So if you haven't heard from me, I'm not ignoring you. I just have not been able to get to the computer. You know, I don't wear it on my hip, folks. So just know that I get to your material as quickly as I can, and I'll get that information or response out to you. Now, there is a life-saving test that has come out, and this is something that has to do with cholesterol. And this is absolutely amazing how they are coming up with more and more ways of checking body balances. There is so much that we have out there that is out of date, and keeping up with it for a doctor or for even the average consumer is just absolutely amazing. It is almost next to impossible. I don't know how many papers are published a month. I think they'd fit a normal moving truck. It would fill it from the top to the bottom every week. And it's just amazing. How in the world can physicians, medical professionals, keep up with all of this, much less a consumer? Well, it's not easy. So whenever I find out about anything, I like to share it because I think it's worthwhile. Now, let's say you don't have a cholesterol problem, but you probably have not heard of the lipoprotein, or it's called LPA, that might be increasing your risk of heart disease. Now, this is something they're still learning about. It's not an absolute, but it's just information I wanted to share with you. They say that when they find out about these high levels of LPA, it makes you 10 times more likely to have a heart attack. It's a very small, dense particle that sneaks into the artery wall and kicks off the process that builds up plaque that narrows the arteries. Now, there's a cardiologist, Michael Osner, and he said, this is something we've just recently learned about. It hampers the action of proteins that break up the blood clots that cause heart attacks. Now, standard cholesterol tests apparently don't detect this, but a VAP cholesterol test does. And I'm going to call it VAP. VAP also measures the size of your LDL and HDL particles, and they say the reason this is important is that small LDL particles are more dangerous than large ones since they have an easier time getting into artery walls. But the bigger your HDL particles are, the better. They carry bad cholesterol away from arteries to the liver and out of the body. Now, as a result of this test, doctors can identify about 90% of people who might be at risk with heart disease, double the number from the standard test alone. Now, lots of people can go in and get the test. I'll be glad when they can make it so that anybody can get this test at any time, any place, anywhere. But there's just all kinds of people that should be aware of this, people that have diabetes, high blood pressure, if they're heavy smokers, or a family history of stroke or heart attack. And they feel that these LPA levels are genetically linked. Also, postmenopausal women also tend to have higher LPA levels, and most insurance plans and Medicare cover the test. Now, here is a little bit of something that for those of us that are feeling like we always have to be aware of battling the bulge, you can take a 3.2 gram CLA, conjugated linoleic acid supplement daily, and you can lose a pound a month. Now, this isn't a diet pill, folks. It's a supplement. Where did this information come from? Try the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. You know, when I think back, I can remember years ago when women who were pregnant were told supplements are ridiculous. You don't need anything like that. Nutrition doesn't have anything to do with anything. Oh, I'm so glad we've finally awakened to the fact nutrition does make a difference. It always has. It always has. But we have this patterning of what I call the dark ages that seems to go on periodically, and it's up to us as consumers to stay alert and to stay aware. And that's why I like to bring all kinds of people to you, to make you aware of the fact that there's more than one way to deal with a situation. But when I came across this information about a 3.2 gram of CLA, conjugated linoleic acid, if you take that daily, there's going to be a pound on your body. 1 pound. That's 12 pounds in a year. That's amazing. And all you're doing is adding a supplement. The body is utilizing it efficiently and effectively. Anyway, that's a little bit of information there for you. And I know we're just about out of time, so I want to let you know about my guest that's coming on tomorrow, Judith Bowman. Is my guest. She is a repeat guest. She's been on my show previously. Her specialty is protocol. She wears some protocol for our own cultural environment as well as protocols throughout the world. And this is very valuable information. Do you know businesses hire people like Judith because they are embarrassed with their employees? Are you aware when you go for a job interview, you could lose your job because of not knowing manners? Things like this are important, folks. Also, we're going to be talking to Robert Bruce this week on Energy Work, talking about a blind puppy for $4 and extraordinary times and extraordinary beings. Ooh, good stuff. So glad you're going to be able to join us. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. God bless. Be well. Enjoy the sunshine and smile. It's a great day. It's the beginning of your week, but it is going to be superb. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
Apple pie.